to the Six Guy Culture Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Danny and Francher. Boys, how's it going?
It could be going better, ends.
Yeah, it's a sensitive time for Francher. For the OGs, you know how much he loves Allegri. Of course, no, you know he can't stand him, and it's been an ongoing rivalry for himself, an internal rivalry, because Allegri does not know who he is. But it's been a point of contention for Francher for some time now. So, yeah, we'll talk about that in this podcast. I'm back. That's another thing. We're supposed to record last week, but just the scheduling and all that just didn't work out for us. It was tough. I just got back from Italy, and then, you know, Francher had work. Dan was busy, and there's so much stuff going on. So, but we found time today. That's all that matters. I'm back. And, yeah, Roma's good. We had some stuff on the social media. We had that reels from the Roma game against Monza. It was a good time. But I'm glad to be back on the pod, talking to the boys. The city has been pretty wild. A lot of surprising results, to say the least. It doesn't seem like there's such a big gap between the top of the table and the bottom of the table like there usually is. That could change, of course, as the year goes on. But as of right now, every game is hard. There doesn't seem to be a walk in the park other than Monza. I think every other team right now is, you know...
Don't say that. Tough.
You been playing Monza next?
Haha.
Wow. Well, hopefully that's clipped, and yeah, that'd be pretty funny. But Juve have been struggling. We all know that. It's not a, you know, it's not something that's being hidden. The whole world knows that. Roma's had struggles. Napoli struggled against Spezia, but they found a win at the end. So it's all that really matters at the end. And yeah, I think it's gonna be a year where necessarily there won't be, you know, great football being played all the time, but, you know, to win a trophy, it doesn't matter. You just got to win the game. That's all that really matters. You don't get skill points for, you know, making it beautiful. You just got to put the ball in the back of the net more times than the other team. So, I don't know where to start. A lot of stuff happened. I guess sort of Dan, because I feel like Dan's probably on the better end of the stick here between us three with our teams. The Liverpool game, Dan, you know, the previous match, Serie A, you know, big win over Spezia. All that kind of stuff. Dan, how are you feeling about Napoli right now?
Yeah, no, pardon me. As talking now prior to the match against Milan, I feel like we've been doing okay. Like, I know we had the disappointing result against Lecce. We also, not a disappointing result thinking back to it, but just like the poor performance against Fiorentina. But other than that, I feel like we've been playing pretty good. The Spezia game was... People want to say, oh, we didn't play good. For me, it was just we were lacking that final pass to open up the score. But it took a late winner from Raspadori. But at the end of the day, the win's all that matters. Once we won that game, I forgot about how we played. And I was very happy with the way we played against Liverpool. We started off the game really strong, and we continued that throughout the 90 minutes. The Liverpool haven't been really playing their best football this year. They did have a lot of injuries heading into the game. But as the game went on, it just seems like Napoli were just in total control. Anguissa was playing unreal. Kvaratskhelia was just decimating the Liverpool defense the whole game. Osimhen, he had a couple of chances, but couldn't score. It was nice to see Zielinski score a brace. And Mione coming in on his Champions League debut and scoring with his first touch. So that was very cool to see. I was very impressed with the way Oliveira played in that game. Kim and Romani were really good. Di Lorenzo played okay. Maret, he's been playing really, knock on wood, he's been playing quite decent for us this year so far. So hopefully he can continue that. I've just been really happy with the way we've been playing. And now the Rangers game too. Back-to-back games now for Raspadori. He scores, so which is a good sign to see. He's a guy that I'm really high on. His IQ for the game end, and I know we've talked about this in the past, it's unbelievable. It's probably one of the best I've seen from a young player that came to Napoli. He's smart IQ. He knows where to be, knows the passes he has to make. And the goal he scored, there was a great link-up between him and Oliveira. So that was a beautiful goal by both of them, good passing, good given goals. And Anguissa was, again, for that game, he was unbelievable. Laboka was really good. Kvaratskhelia was creating a lot of chances. But I'm very happy to see even Ndombele come in, gets his first Napoli goal against Rangers. A beautiful work by Giza, won the ball back, was unselfish, and he passed it to Ndombele, who tapped it home to give us the 3 points. Oh, make it 3-0. But I'm very happy to see that, because once he came into the game, it was like he was a different animal. He was dribbling by players, winning fouls, winning the ball, and this was only in the span of 10 minutes. He looked unbelievable in 10 minutes. But I'm very happy with the way we've been playing so far. Hopefully, now against Milan, it's going to be our biggest test of the year so far, and hopefully we're up to the challenge.
Yeah, certainly. Napoli's look good. Raspadori, like you said, Dan, great IQ. We've always spoken about that for some time now on the podcast. I don't think that's a secret. I think a lot of people would agree with that statement.
Yeah, and he's very underrated defensively as well. He's came in a few times, played the left side, played center forward, but there was a lot of times where he dropped in deep, very deep, to win the ball back and spread out the play. It was just very cool to see. And I'm very happy that we have him on the team, that we can play him in that left wing position, the center forward position, maybe behind the striker at times. He's very versatile.
To me, he's almost, and obviously two completely different players, but he kind of reminds me of Lorenzo Pellegrini just a little bit, in which obviously Pellegrini's not a left winger. He's not a deep playmaker, but sometimes he does play those roles. And I think Raspadori's the similar, in a similar spot, because they're two very smart players. And when you're so smart, you can, branch out and play different roles and help the team. And maybe it's not where you're going to get the best out of them, but you're still going to get a good level where it's going to help the team. And if you need them in that role for, a couple games, they can do that. And Raspadori is such a smart player. I think he can play multiple roles when needed. And same with Pellegrini. We saw him on the national team during the Nations League. He was played on the left wing, and he's never played there for Roma. I think maybe one game he's played for Roma there. And he was scoring almost every game in the Nations League. And Raspadori is the same thing, I think. Is he the most athletic player? No. Is he physically, imposing? No. But he's so smart that doesn't really matter. He's in the right spot at the right time. He knows where to make certain runs. He knows where to play his teammates, and he knows where everybody is. He knows timing, everything. He has it all when it comes to the IQ of the game. And, I think he's been a great addition for Napoli. And I think he still hasn't hit his stride where he seems fully comfortable yet, but he's going to hit that eventually. Yeah. It takes time. And once he does, I think that's where we're going to see the best of him. And also, another hot take, I actually prefer Napoli when Simeone is on the field as opposed to Osimhen at times.
Yeah,
it's kind of a hot take. But
I was actually, I totally forgot to mention that. But I was actually impressed with the way Simeone played. It's his first start for Napoli, you could say. And he played really well. Even the game where he came in against Spezia, Napoli, besides Loboka coming in, Simeone, I can argue that he kind of changed the game, because he brings a difference. He brings height. He can win the ball in the air. He can drop in and spread the play out. And there was a play where I believe it was Zielinski that sent them the ball, through a ball, where Simeone was in all alone, and he got fouled by two Ranger defenders. And there was a chance where I believe Kravitskaya or Zielinski again sent them in, and the goalie made a nice save. He had a few chances against the Rangers to score, but the goalie made a nice save, and he got fouled. That led to the penalty shot. For me, he was really impressive, because he dropped in, he won the ball, he got the ball in the midfield, held it up nicely, found Politano, found Anguissa, found Loboka. Like, he was holding up the play really nice. And you see at times where they're two different players, in my opinion, but there's times where Osimhen tries to do that, and he ends up falling on the ground, and he loses the ball, and the referee doesn't call a foul. With Simeone, you can see he's more stronger on the ball with his back towards goal, and he can pick out a pass, he can drop in, and he's very good. He's a very good passer for a striker. And as you said, I don't think it's a hot take at all. I think the way Napoli play, I feel like we need a type of guy like that, because we really haven't had one. Milik was supposed to be that guy, but with his injuries, he wasn't really consistent, and then there's a lot of times where he missed a lot of chances for us. And I feel like with Simeone, I feel like he's that perfect example of what a Napoli striker needs. Don't get me wrong, I like Osimhen too. I feel like he's a phenomenal player, and I feel like he, when he's on his game, he's one of the best strikers in the league. But I just don't think he's consistent enough. And I feel like with Simeone getting a lot of game time now, it's going to be interesting to see when Osimhen comes back to see what Napoli does. If Simeone starts, well, we only have one game until the international break, but it's going to be interesting to see, because if Simeone stays, like, continues to impress Napoli, like, and the coaching staff and, like, the fans, I can see him being our starter in the by the midway through the season.
Yeah, and it's going to put Spalletti in a very tough spot, because at the end of the day, Osimhen is the big money signing, and if Napoli do want to move on from him at some point, he's going to have to play, right, to keep that value up. But at the same time, you need to win games. That's what really matters. And if Simeone is making the team better, you can't really bench him. Obviously, Osimhen's a better player. I'm not saying Simeone is a better player. I'm saying Simeone
is
better with Napoli.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And if you look at the team, right, they got Cavaradona, like everyone's calling him. They got Politano. Two guys really like to take on guys one-on-one. Osimhen's kind of...
And Cross, too. We have a lot of crossing players, yeah.
And Osimhen's not really a poacher. He's not really someone that's kind of like an Icardi that likes to sit in the box. And I feel like Simeone is more of that. He hunts down these balls. And one thing that does annoy me of Osimhen sometimes, it feels like any little bit of, you know, physical altercation, he gets annoyed and he gets in his head and he starts playing bad. Simeone is kind of like a Belotti, where you can hit him with a truck and he'll still keep coming to you. He won't say a word. He won't say, look at his teammates, look at a ref. Like, he plays through it. And I think to be a good finisher, you need that. You know, Lewandowski, when do you ever see someone like Lewandowski complaining to the ref about contact? Never. Unless it's like a clear pen or whatever. But someone like that, even Erling Haaland, guys like that live and breathe goals. And
if you notice too, a lot of strikers who are like elite, maybe besides Mbappe, none of them are really like, they run in behind strikers and a player finds them. Guys like Haaland, in the box, he's unbelievable. And he's got pace, too. Lewandowski in the box is no one better in the world than him, you can say. You can argue. Yeah. Harry Kane's a perfect example. He's a strong guy in the air, and in the box, that's the ball. And if there's a ball in the box, he's scoring. And I feel like with Simeone, I'm not comparing him to the elites, like those guys. But I feel like for the way Napoli play, especially because we have Rui, who likes to cross, Di Lorenzo, who likes to make a run into the box and cross it in. Politano's a good crosser. Carrasquilla creates a lot of chances. Even Zielinski, a guy, he's a set-piece taker and he scores. You need a guy like Simeone who's more physical in the box because of just the way we play. And I feel like as the year goes on, you could probably see, like, depending on the matchup and depending on who we play, I can see Simeone one game, maybe Osimhen next two games, Simeone, Osimhen. And just here and there. And it's a good problem to have. Anytime you can have like anytime your lineup's unpredictable, mainly in the front three, I feel like that's a good problem, especially with the striker position, because it all depends on the style of play you want to play for that certain match. And I feel like with Simeone, it gives us more benefit that we can play with a hold up striker. He can pass it off. And for me, he's more physical in the air. And I feel like he's a better header of the ball than Osimhen, because there's a lot of times where Osimhen heads the ball and goes over, hits the crossbar, this, that. But I feel like Simeone, the way we play, I feel like as of right now, until Osimhen learns to play with his strengths, I feel like Simeone's are like the best fit, just the way in terms of style of play for us.
Yeah, and before we move on here, because I'm going to get Franchet involved here with Allegri up next. So Franchet, you know, warm up your hands there. I know we're about to hear quite a rant. But yeah,
I see his fist shaking.
But my last point on this whole situation, obviously, like, Osimhen will never be better fully player. Benched, and he's a better player. Like, for Napoli, fully benching him is going to be just
disaster.
Terrible. It's going to be a disaster because, number one, I don't see him as a guy that's going to accept the bench, as he shouldn't, but I feel like he's going to cause problems in the locker room and all that kind of stuff and all drama, which Napoli don't need. And also, I said Aspadori's coming to Napoli last year. That was my prediction. I think this year, my prediction is this is the last season you're going to see Osimhen in the Napoli kit. I think it's, you know, beginning of the end, and which isn't a bad thing. I think Napoli, I just feel like they're moving on from him a little bit. I feel like Osimhen's head isn't in the right place. And he's a great player, don't get me wrong. I think if Napoli continue this style of play past this year, I think it's going to be time for Napoli to bring in someone alongside of Simeone who plays similar to him, but obviously a higher level player. And Osimhen, if the value is still there, I think Napoli needs to sell him before it drops too low. I think right now you could probably get him for 50, 60 million. In the Prem, you could probably get him for 800 million. But just change his nationality and to English, and I'm sure you can get around 700, 800 million for him in the Prem from Burnley or something. So, but yeah, that's my prediction. I think we get him to the end.
To your point, and to be completely honest with you, I don't expect Osimhen to return next year as well. I don't, like, there's a lot of, even Napoli fans, if you ask a lot of them in person on Twitter, if you think Osimhen will be our striker next year, a lot of them say, no, I feel like we're going to sell him at the end of the year. And it's not because we don't want him. It's just because a team's going to bid, and they're going to give us, like, say, like, okay, a team like in the Prem, especially if United need a striker, here, 80 million, I can see the going, okay, give us 80 million, we invest in this and that and that and that, just throughout the, like, the positions we need. And I wouldn't be surprised if Napoli, if they do sell Osimhen, they buy, I think they do have an option to buy or obligation to buy for Simeone. It's cheap. Simeone becomes our starter, and we get a young up-and-coming striker that's like 18, 19 years old, like what Atalanta did, and they build like that.
I mean, that's an option. And with someone like Osimhen, I just feel like he's destined to be in the Prem one day. Just the way he plays, I feel like suits the Prem better. And, you know, it's kind of like a Mo Salah situation, right? How he left Roma, and then at the Prem, it completely exploded. That doesn't mean Roma made the wrong decision. It just means that he fits the Prem style more.
The style, and yeah.
If Osimhen goes to the Prem and scores 25 goals, it doesn't mean Napoli made a mistake. It just means he's made for the Prem more. And I think that is the case. To me, the way he plays fits the Prem a little bit more, more space to run in behind. Said, yeah, you need more gritty guys that, you know, grind the box, like Lukaku. Lukaku is great for a reason, because he's, you know, not scared of contact. He's a physical presence. Simeone is like that. Tammy Abraham has that Osimhen element where he likes to play face up and, you know, go towards the attack, I mean the defense. But also, Tammy Abraham can hold up the play. He can get in the box. He can win headers. Who else some great strikers right now? Milik, he's doing great for
Juventus
right now. Good. And that's how he plays. He's someone who's not really scared of contact. You know, all those guys are, you know, amongst the best strikers in the league. You know, Giroud, that I could go on all day. And I feel like
and you make a good point. And I noticed too, with all the, you can say, we'll use a quote, top strikers in the league. All of them are good at hold up. A lot of them are good at hold up play or in the box. They're like deadly in the box. A lot of them don't play like the way Osimhen does, if you notice. Like, they're more, I would say all of them are a lot slower than Osimhen, because Osimhen's one of the fastest players in the league. But they play like in the box, that's their key area, you could say. They're in the box, they don't finish anything. And a lot of them are like that. And if you look, Milik, he's a good target guy. Simeone, he's a target guy, you could say. He's a box, like in the box, he can win a lot of crosses. Milik, Immobile, Vlahovic, you could say. Giroud, even Belotti too, the guy. He's a hold-up play. He's very good at that too. And Tammy, like a lot of guys, they're good in the box. And a lot of them, like you see a lot of times, they're not running in behind defenders. A lot of them are just in the box.
Yeah, no. That's
It's the way the Serie A is. That's the way it is.
Yeah. That's a needed profile to do well in the Serie A. And it doesn't mean Osimhen's a bad player. It just means, you know, he doesn't fit as well as the other people do.
Yeah, it's just the style, the way we play with, like, we use them. It doesn't kind of work with us a lot of times.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I think it's the beginning of the end of Osimhen. Dan agreed. And it doesn't mean he's a bad player. It just means that, you know, maybe it's not the right fit. And it happens. We saw Salah, like I said. He didn't do bad at Roma, by the way, Salah. 15 goals, 11 assists. It's not a bad season at all. It's amazing, actually. It's what Berardi usually gets. But the Prem exploded because, you know, it fits his play style more, and I think Osimhen will be a similar thing. I think he'll do very well in the Prem. But yeah, moving on now.
Hold on, Enz.
Oh, you want, okay.
Before we move on, I just want to piggyback on your point here when you're comparing Simeone and Osimhen. I think the reason Simeone is doing so well is because he's fearless. He's come from relatively mid-table clubs, and now that he's playing on the biggest stage in the Champions League, obviously with that tattoo he has and everything, he has that hunger and fight to play for Napoli. Whereas Osimhen, you could see, ever since he got that injury, he's not playing fearless. He's playing with fear. He's going into the challenge and he's avoiding the challenge thinking he's going to get injured. And I think that's why Osimhen has kind of dropped off performance-wise for Napoli, because he's playing with fear in his head. When you play with fear in your head, you're going to drop off. You're not going to go for the ball because you're scared of the challenge. And I think that's a mental issue that Osimhen needs to overcome, and a block that Osimhen needs to overcome in order for him to get back to his old self. Because ever since he's got an injury, he's kind of fell off and he's kind of plateaued there now. So I feel like once he gets over that mental blockage of not getting injured, I think that's when we could see a real star in Osimhen. But until then, we're just going to see him put his mask on and
here we go.
Just kind of give a mediocre performance here and there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can see your point, but at the same time, I feel like he's always avoided contact. I don't think Osimhen's ever been that kind of striker to welcome it as much as others. But yeah, that could be a point, though. That could be a reason why. But I don't know about the mask. But, no, yeah, that was our take on Napoli. Obviously, it was a longer bit, around 20 minutes. But at the same time, Napoli's been doing well, so they kind of earned the right to have a longer segment on the pod. Now, Allegri, I'm sure this might break records for the longest rant on Sex Ed history.
I think I still hold it.
Exactly. But, yeah, Allegri's being pushed out by apparently some members of the team, which no reliable sources have said, but, you know, some sources have said it, though. Fans are definitely pushing him out. You know, Frances, one of them, one of many. Allegri out was trending on social media, and I think Allegri, just the name Allegri, is trending still right now for a couple of days now. Juve have not looked good, and Juve have not looked good for a while, even before Allegri. But with him, it just feels like something's missing. Obviously, I do feel bad in a way where the midfield, you know, whatever manager you have, you're not going to do well with, you know, Weston McKennie, a young kid in Miretti was going to be good, but, you know, you can't rely on someone like that week in, week out right now. And midfield is lacking. There are injuries, but at the same time, there isn't really an excuse for the ideas I've been seeing, you know, Dan's been seeing, Juve fans have been seeing. There doesn't seem to be an idea of play. They don't have anything where, like, oh, yeah, that's Juve's identity. That's what they're trying to do. I don't know what they're trying to do. I have no idea when I'm watching them. With Napoli, I know, you know, try and get the ball to the wingers and then make something happen. Again, it's like Napoli have an identity, like a clear identity. Roma, you know, they like that link up. They like to, you know, come together in the middle for all the best players and link up quick passes and break down the defense. I think Inter is missing an identity as well, actually. Milan is very clear their identity, you know. You know who the go-to guys are. Vlahovic seems to be suffering right now. He's getting absolutely no service. I do think he's playing well, but you know, he's not really getting anything. Milik is more of an opportunist kind of striker, where he feeds on those loose balls. He feeds on maybe the defense sleeping a bit. Vlahovic kind of likes to, you know, bring the ball down, back to the net, turn and shoot quick, or find another player, you know, make it a run. But he doesn't really have that right now. I think Di Maria would help big time, but, you know, he's been out for a while. But now it seems like he's back. But it is a manager, and I always like to defend the manager because I feel like they are the scapegoat in football. You know, if your team's playing bad, you're not going to sack the whole team. You're going to sack the manager. You know, you can't get rid of the players. But at the same time, I can't defend Allegri because there are no ideas. If I can see an idea, if I can see an identity and say, hey, these ideas are good, once Pogba so-and-so are back, they can execute these ideas. But I'm not seeing that right now. I don't know what Allegri is trying to do. And, Juve's in a really bad spot right now. I'm not sure if waiting longer to see if Allegri can figure it out will fix the idea. He will not be sacked before international break. That's just, it's not going to happen. I think Juve's going to give him the international break, try and figure things out. Maybe that guy's come back from injury. But I think after international break, we're going to see, you know, a decision be made. A couple of games after that. And he's being paid a lot, $9 million a year. That's a lot of money. And you can't just sack him and then bring in another high-quality manager. If you are bringing in a different manager, it'll be, you know, an interim manager within Juventus. Or, you know, a cheaper option like the Zerbi, like we've been seeing rumored. You're not going to get no Zidane while you're paying Allegri $9 million a year. It's not going to happen. It's unrealistic. It's not a football manager or FIFA, you know, it's real money you're playing with here. So Yeah, that's my take on it. I do think it's time for Allegri to, you know, be moved. There's no ideas, and I think when a manager has no ideas, that's the point where, you know, they hit the end of the road. But I guess we'll let Dan go, and then for Chet, you know, we'll leave you for a big finish here, kind of warming up.
Yeah, I'm going to be like LeBron or Dwayne Wade throwing the ball up, and Francesco Di LeBron's flying me home. Or it's vice versa, I think it is. I think it's LeBron. I don't know. Anyways, but it's not good for Juve. And yeah, people want to say, oh, we should have kept Sarri, could have kept Pirlo. Then again, you did throw Pirlo under the bus. Like, that was just a move that you couldn't really, like, expect much from him because that was his first gig. But bringing Allegri back, and for me, I'm a big fan of not bringing back coaches that were old coaches of your team. Like, for example, when Sarri was linked to us, I didn't want him back because Allegri did so good for Juve in the past, and now his reputation is getting ruined by based off this year. And even, you can say even last year too. But for me, it doesn't make sense for you guys to keep him just the way you guys have been playing, but also too, your team's not the team it once was. Like, I saw something on Twitter. It's like, when you play Juventus, you used to be scared of them. Like, I used to be scared of Juve. And now when I see we play Juve, it's like, okay, I feel like we can win this. Like, I just feel confident. Like, that's where it is now. And it's nothing against Juve, guys. It's not me being cocky. It's just the way you guys have been playing as of late. And I'm not scared of Juve. And I just don't think they're the team around them, maybe beside Vlahovic, maybe when Chiesa comes back, Di Maria, and Vermeer. I just think, and arguably maybe Locatelli, because when he can play, he's a very good midfielder. I'm not really scared of Juve at all. I'm not scared of the rest of the guys they have. And I just don't think, I blame the management for allowing this to happen. But also, too, you got to go even further back. Was that Ronaldo move worth it at the end of the day? Was that move to sign Ronaldo worth it because of the money you guys were paying him and not winning Champions League, because that's what you brought Ronaldo in to do? It kind of screwed you guys over in the end because of you couldn't upgrade the midfield. You guys couldn't get center backs you need. You couldn't get full backs. You guys had, like, no midfield. And Allegri, is he really the type of coach that's going to win you a Champions League? Because Juve fans, I know now, I hear we don't care about the Scudetto. We have many of them. We want Champions League. Is Allegri that manager? Especially now, took the year off, and his style of play hasn't really improved. Is he that guy that's going to push you to the next level? And I feel like pointing Allegri at the last year was kind of like a backwards move. It's like, okay, we're going to go back to our old ways. But nowadays, football's won in the midfield. You guys don't have a midfield. You guys score one goal, you guys sit back. That's not how you're going to win football games. You're not, like, that's a small, you can say, a quote-unquote, a smaller team mentality. You guys are Juventus, like, one of the most historic clubs in Italian football and in football history. You guys should be attacking. You guys should be scoring goals. You guys should be having chances. And just Allegri in, it's you eliminate that. And I feel like, and I, this could be a hot take, but I feel like if you guys appoint De Zerbi, we could see a different Juve because he brings that attacking style of play. And you need a midfield, though, and that's the thing. I feel like if you bring in De Zerbi and say you guys don't have a good year, the first thing I would do, not even in January, because it's going to be tough because you need to sell some players, you need to bring in some guys, whatever. But in the summer, just upgrade that midfield, because once Juve upgrade that midfield and maybe get another center back to pair with the likes of Vermeer, then there'll be a team like, you go, okay, now I don't want to play Juve because they're good. But until that happens, I just feel like just the way the management took control of the situation, especially with Ronaldo, Allegri coming back, I just think it's a big mess right now for you guys.
And here we go, the main event of the evening.
Warming up. Listen, everyone who's watched this podcast knows my thoughts on Allegri. It's never changed. When we appointed him back, I started crying. I was in disbelief that we would bring back such a mistake. But I said, you know what? They gave Allegri the full transfer market. They said, This is your team. Build it. You tell us who you want. We'll pen to paper. We'll sign them. Everyone Allegri's asked for has been granted to Allegri. So a lot of people are saying, yes, the injuries suck. Yes, Chiesa's out. Yes, Pogba's out. Yes, Di Maria's out. Yeah, that sucks. And our midfield has been out. I know for Champions League against Benfica, we had to rely on Meretti. And when Meretti was playing like shit, we didn't really have anyone else to bring on but Fagioli because Rabiot was out, Locatelli was out. And yes, the injuries are killing us. But at the same time, this is Allegri's fault because he was the man in charge of bringing in players. Allegri doesn't take into consideration that, oh, you know what? This is a World Cup year, so we're going to have to play a lot of midweek games. Maybe I should get that extra player just in case this happens. Maybe I shouldn't ship out Artur and Zakaria when we have no depth as it is. So I have no sympathy for this man. Every decision he's made was the wrong decision, and now Juve fans are starting to see that. And it's sad that it took after the Benfica game for Allegri to be the seventh tweet globally. I think it should have been well before. Like Danny and Enzo said, Juve have no identity. That's only like in game. They have a play style. I call it fairy tale management. And we saw this perfect in action against Salernitana. We're 2-0 down. Our heads are down low. Allegri, I don't know what he does in that locker room, but he decides not to play. And then second half, we play how we're supposed to be playing for 90 minutes. We press our opponents, we create chances, and we make a comeback and make it 2-2. Now, again, we make it 3-2, but I'm not going to get into that debate because that's another problem. But we make the comeback. And a lot of Juve fans were like, why can't we play like this for 90 minutes? And I'll tell you why. Allegri likes fairy tale management. He likes to be down, and he likes to come back up and rise up. So the headlines read, Allegri's masterpiece, his amazing subs, his amazing halftime speech, whatever the headlines read, he wants his name in the headlines. And I think that's our biggest problem. He's too egocentric. He likes his name being talked about way too much. He doesn't care about the team. He doesn't care about the sport. He doesn't care about anything. He just wants to sit there, get paid, and do nothing. With Pep Guardiola, when he coaches, he's said it numerous times that he cannot coach a shit team. He needs to have money and he needs to have a good team in order for him to win. He said it many times. With Allegri, he needs to have a good team, but he needs to rely on the players. With Pep, he has to have good players, but he also makes them better. He makes them station. If they're good, they're going to be great. If they're bad, he's going to make them good enough. With Allegri, if you're shit, you're going to stay shit. If you're good, you're going to play like shit. And if you're great, you're going to be good. But he's going to rely on those great players to carry him. So that's what people think. They're under the illusion that he's a great manager. But he was only a great manager because he was given Conte's team. And that team, like, it was one of the best teams in Juve history. I think, like, any person with a sane mind, like any relatively decent manager with their UEFA licensing, could have done what Allegri's done with that Juventus team in 2015 and 2016 and 2017. Because after 2017, it's the same story with him. It's the same style of play. It's the same excuses he uses over and over again. And any good manager will go into that press conference after a horrible result like Benfica, like Salernitana, and say, you know what? I take partial responsibility because I'm part of the team and I could have done this, this, and this better. I've never seen in my entire life of watching Massimiliano Allegri go into a post-match conference and take any drip of accountability. I've never heard him say it's partially his fault. I've never heard him say it's all of his fault. I've never even heard him blame a sliver of himself. Because he always has some excuse to use. Now, that Salernitana result saved him. It saved him big time. The fact that the team was able to scrape away a 2-2, and because of that shit VAR decision, to make it 3-2. First of all, just want to brush up against that. There's no way in an Allianz Stadium, a state-of-the-art facility in Italy, that the VAR technicians did not have the right angle to see Kondreva offside. That's bullshit. The refs just wanted an excuse because they knew they messed up. And I think it's with Italian football as a whole that they have such big egos that the second any of them mess up, They don't want to admit to them messing up, so they find any excuse. And that's the old school Italian mentality, and Allegri falls perfectly into that. Because you see, time and time again, he takes no accountability for himself or for the team whatsoever. And I think, like I said, a lot of Juve fans are saying it's time to go. It was time to go back in 2017 after he choked that Champions League final. After 2018, after 2019, it was time to go. He asked for Ronaldo, we gave him Ronaldo. He asked for De Ligt, we gave him De Ligt. He doesn't do anything. And I think the biggest difference here is when we bought in Sadi, I think he was a panic option. I think we were going for Pep. I think we were going for Pochettino. I think we were going for someone else, but something fell through and we panicked and we got Sadi in. But he did his job. He won the Scudetto. But I think the players did not like playing under Sadi. They wanted someone more experienced on the higher levels of stages. And the management listened and said, listen, the players don't want Sadi. He lost the locker room. It's time to get rid of him. Then we bring in Pirlo, who, again, like Danny said, It was a shot in the dark. He was supposed to manage our under-23s, build up that reputation, and then come to the main team. We kind of just had to pull him into our main team. And again, I'm not going to say he did his job well, but he got a Coppa Italia, he got a Supercoppa, he got two trophies. Two out of the four trophies isn't bad for his first manager. He didn't get a transfer window. He had to deal with the documentary every game. And he didn't get a preseason. So I think for what he did okay. And then we sacked him. I didn't agree with that, and then we bring in this mistake of Allegri, and I think that was the biggest mistake we could have made. And now we gave full trust in Allegri. We gave him a $9 million 4-year contract. We gave him full access to the transfer market, so anyone he asks for comes in, and anyone who wants out is out. And I think that's another mistake we gave him, because we gave him the chance to build his team, and he didn't get players we needed. Yes, he bought in Pogba. Yes, he bought in Di Maria. He bought in a couple of great additions. He brought in Bremer after De Ligt wanted to go. But we needed fullbacks, and he didn't bring any fullbacks in. We had barely any depth in the midfield, and he got rid of Artur and Zakaria. I'm fine with Artur leaving, but Zakaria needed to stay. And I think against Benfica, I think Zakaria would have been a huge help, especially against PSG as well. But we got rid of him because Allegri wanted him out. So it makes no sense. Now, I think, I know it's not a reliable source as yet. I call him the Cookie Monster, but his name's Biscotti. I think his name's Simon or something, but I know his last name is Biscotti. He put out an interesting tweet I saw yesterday, that Vlahovic and Di Maria are holding, meetings with the players as they want a strike, as they want, a more modern day manager. Because you have these players who need modern managers who play attacking football so they could play their best football. With Allegri, it's not going to happen. You're going to score one goal, you're going to sit back, and you're just going to soak up the pressure until they score. And that's what we've seen every game. So I think if the players do that, I'm all for it. But it's going to cause a huge problem, because a fan already asked Arrivo Bene to sack Allegri, and his response was, are you going to pay for the new manager? Because we can't afford to sack Allegri because his contract's way too big. So we would have to sack him, pay him his full money, and then hire someone else. And like Enzo said, we can't go for a Zidane or a Tuchel, because I believe Tuchel's making $13 million at Chelsea. We can't afford to give him $13 million plus Allegri's $9 million. So it would have to kind of be Landucci or someone, which, again, I'm all for it. But, again, we can't afford to sack Allegri and go with an interim manager and then just go for another manager once again, because, again, these players aren't going to develop well if we keep going manager after manager. So it's an endless cycle at this point. But I think another point is, now I'm going to rope in Danny and Enzo here. When you're kids, you're told when you work, you can't work for money. You have to work for passion. Is this right, lads?
Depends, yeah. But you have to go to a job where you're happy and
of course
enjoy doing. Like at the end of the day, the goal is just to make money to support, but you have to go where you're happy.
Of course.
You should be working where you're happy in a happy environment.
You're always taught when you go into a full-time job, it has to be what you want to do, what you want to love. And like when you go into a career, it has to be a career that you love and you're passionate about doing it, right? So tell me, how Allegri is still a manager, because this man has no passion for the sport. I've always said it. He does not care about soccer. He said it multiple times, actually. When he got sacked the first time at Juve, I told everyone he's not going to coach Chelsea. He's not going to coach PSG. No one wants him. Everyone knows he's a fraud. And instead of sitting down at home and watching some calcio or studying the sport, studying how it's evolving and how he could change his ideas to be a better manager for the future when he does decide to go back into managing, he goes on Enzo's favorite show, Dancing with the Stars in Italia, and he goes on Sanremo, and he does all these dancing and singing and whatnot, instead of actually doing the stuff he's supposed to be passionate about. So he's not passionate about soccer. So what the hell is he doing still managing? Because he has more than enough money to live. His grandkids, his daughter that he likes to kiss, whatever, he has more than enough. But for some reason, he's still here, and he sits down, and he understands what he's doing. And listen, this is to all the Juve fans who still have some like towards Allegri, some respect towards this man. Everyone says, I have respect for Allegri for what he's done in the past. Listen, if Allegri was a Juve legend, if Allegri is what people say he was in the past, he would sit back, reflect on himself, and said, you know what? The fans want me out. There was reports a fan vandalized his car, which is unfortunate. They're like, okay, the fans want me out. The players want me out. Nedved made a big scene and wants him out. That's been very public that Nedved doesn't agree with Allegri. So the fans want me out. The players want me out. Most of the management want me out. I know that they can't sack me because they can't afford to sack me. Let me sit back. Let me say, you know what? It's my time. I will resign. Because if he truly cares about the team, if he truly cares about the organization, he would say, you know what? I think it's not my time right now. I'll resign. I won't take my money. I'll go somewhere else, or I'll retire. I'll do what I need to do, but I'll resign so Juventus could hire an actual manager and they could compete. Or he could think of it in his egotistical way and say, fine, the players, the fans, they want me out. They don't understand that no one could work with this team. I'll resign so they have no excuse to hire a manager that they think will do better than me, and we'll see how shit they do without me. But in no way is he thinking that. He's thinking, huh, they can't sack me. I'm not going to resign. Let's see how this unfolds. And just like in 2017, after he kicked out Bonucci and Dani Alves, he's going to kick out Vlahovic, he's going to kick out Di Maria, he's going to kick out Chiesa, he's going to kick any exciting prospect we have coming through. He's just going to kick out because they're not going to want to play. They're going to be like, I'm wasting my career here. I got to leave. And like you said, with Osimhen destined to go to the Prem, I think if Allegri's still the manager for next season, Vlahovic is off to the Prem. He's gone. He's leaving. You already see his shows of frustration with the lack of service. I think it's only going to get worse throughout the season. So by next season, he's going to put in that transfer request. Same with Di Maria. He's not going to want to stay, especially since it's the end of his career. He wants to compete and win. And I think Chiesa, we have maybe another year with him because of his injury. I think we'll have another year before he decides to throw in the towel. But overall, I think it's time for him to go. It's been time for him to go. And if the management, listen, I know for a lot of people are saying the money's a big issue, but at the same time, like, we can't fix this problem with Allegri at the helm. Get Landucci in. Get Nedved as an interim coach. I don't care. Get someone. I don't care who it is. We need someone to guide this ship, to kind of salvage us. Because at this point, I'm going to be watching Juve on Thursday Night Football in the Europa League against AS Roma in the final. So we'll see how it goes. But hopefully something clicks in. Maybe the vandalism to Allegri's car is a wake-up call for Allegri, and he kind of gets something going and gets some motivation in the team so we could press for 90 minutes instead of pressing for 20 minutes, scoring a goal, parking the bus, and just waiting until the opponent goes 2-1 up for us to actually give a shit and actually try to make another comeback. Because losing at home... Listen, Benfica, in no way am I disrespecting them. They're a very historic team. They're a very great team. But we should never, ever be the second best team on the pitch against a team like Benfica at home. I'd understand if it was in Portugal, the atmosphere, but when I'm hearing the Benfica fans more than the Juventus fans, when I'm seeing Benfica have much more chances than Juventus, when we're 1-0 up, they make it 2-1, and then we decide, oh shit, we're losing. Oh shit, it's time to wake up. And Benfica are still pressing to get that third goal, and Allegri's yelling, calma, calma, on the bench when we're 2-1 down, and a decisive Champions League match, that's worrying. And again, with Chelsea, I think one thing I commemorate about them is Tuchel, after he lost to Zagreb this early on in the season, said, I'm not worried, there's still many games to be played. Got sacked for saying that. Allegri says that shit every post-conference, and he's still here at Juventus. So it shows you the level that the club's going in, and the direction the club's going in compared to other teams. And that's why people are laughing at Italian football, because the supposedly biggest team in Italy can't even sack their manager because they don't have enough money. They can't even, they're putting up with his antics. A lot of people like Mourinho because of his post-match conferences, because they're funny and he says what he needs to say. But he speaks the truth. If he messes up, he'll say he messes up. Allegri just makes stupid excuses. And you know what? I've saved two of my personal favorites of recent, and I've sent them to Enzo on Twitter. They asked him if he's going to get sacked. And he says, do I feel like I can get sacked? No, we could have won 3-1. There were moments today, but it didn't go our way. It's normal that there are expectations, but again, I'm missing some players. And again, he's blaming the players instead of himself. Instead of saying, you know what, I felt I could have handled that game better. Instead, he's like, no, Pogba's injured, Chiesa's injured, Di Maria's injured. I'm not going to, it's not my fault that we're losing. A team like Juventus, where our B team is better than Benfica's A team, and he's blaming the fact that he doesn't have star players on his team. I think that says it all. And until next podcast, when hopefully Allegri's gone, but again, I don't see him getting sacked until his contract runs out. So it's just going to be a lot of unfortunate podcasts on Allegri for Juventus fans. And we'll have to just get through this banter season together, lads.
Well, Richard, is that all you had?
For now.
Pitcher,
hopefully
I think
you guys enjoyed that professor.
We'd like to congratulate. I'm pretty sure you smashed the record.
Yeah, he absolutely obliterated the record of longest segment in six out of history, I'm pretty sure.
But hold on, boys. Facts. Hold on, boys, quickly.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I just saw this that I need to share.
Time's still going for the record. Here we go.
Juventus, even with Di Maria, Chiesa, Pogba, and all the others, has a mediocre squad. Paredes is not Pirlo neither. Allegri will have to perform a miracle to lead Juve to finish among top four and get Champions League qualification. This was Allegri's close friend. I don't know how to say his name. Gaglione. I don't know. How can you? First of all, is Allegri like asking for someone to be like Andrea Pirlo? Again, like how many like star-studded players does this man need to be a team like Salernitana? It's not him saying for Juventus to win the Scudetto, for Juventus to win the Champions League. It's Juventus to get top four qualification. So does his close friend think that Inter, that Milan, that Roma have such a star-studded squad compared to what Juve have?
All right, well, I'm pulling the plug here.
He surrounds himself with idiots who don't understand the sport. His friends are probably, and you probably know this Gaglione guy. His friend, it's probably his friend from Dancing with the Stars Italia. I don't know.
All right,
but
well,
I think I'm going to leave it.
Yeah, that's enough for Allegri for one pod. For those of you that got through that, you're a real one. Me and Dan really don't need to add to any of that at all. That's the Allegri segment. I know Dan had a question he wanted to ask. I told him before a pod, so Dan, you can ask that now.
Okay, boys. So I got, like, I was watching the IFTV podcast on YouTube or listening to it, whatever. Go check them out. It's a very good podcast. But Marco asked a question, okay? I know it's not perfect timing, too, after the Allegri event. But if the season ended today, right, who would be your MVP? That's the question. And I was, like, debating, like, you know what? That's a good question to ask. I wanted to see what Enzo and Finch has to say.
Well,
even you
depends.
Guys, too, leave it, let us know. If the season ended today, who would be your MVP?
Yeah, let us know, for real. That's a great question. It depends. Are we talking the way the Serie A does it, which is basically whoever's in first place, the best player on that team, or, like, actually?
See, the way
like,
they
the
were
best.
Doing it, yeah. I think it's the way they were talking. They were, I think Marco and Peter said Kvaratskhelia. Antonio said Leao. And Mike said Arnautovic. I guess, like, okay, the way, let's just do it the way we want, like, the way we think. To be honest, like, the most valuable player.
I would have to go with Kvaratskhelia. I think he's definitely, as of right now, the best player in Serie A. I think he's been really helping Napoli get to where they were with all the absences with Insigne leaving, Mertens leaving. I think he's really molded himself into Napoli right now. And he's the limelight and the for what Napoli's doing so well, whether it's in Serie A, Champions League. He's really been guiding Napoli to wins and beautifully playing football. So I think definitely he would have to be MVP.
This is tough. I'm trying to think. I mean, I usually like to think longer about this kind of stuff. I want to give a good answer here. It's tough. I think see, when I look at MVP, I think of you take that guy off the team, and the team is basically melted. Like they're
I got one that you might laugh, but it's. I think if you watch them without if he doesn't play, and then when he comes into the game, you can see why. But,
for me, I'm gonna have to go with Beto from Udinese.
Yeah, he's been incredible.
Yeah, he's been unreal for them.
Him and I just think Figu, take him out, they're toast.
Yeah, I think that caught me off guard. But for me, I know I'm gonna go based off. Okay, I'm gonna kind of base it off the Serie A, like the way the Serie A does it, but I think it's for me it's gonna be two. There's two close ones, very close ones. I think Kvaratskhelia is probably the one I'm gonna lean more towards, but a good shout would be Laboka. And I know it's gonna laugh, people are gonna laugh, but the Napoli's midfield, the one game Laboka did not play, and we had Ndombele and Anguissa as a holding midfield. Our team did not look good at all. And it was against Lecce. Our team did not look good at all. The minute Laboka comes in, we were a different team. And I feel like he's our best midfielder by far. And Zielinski's up there, but I feel like Laboka for Napoli is the most important aspect in the team. I feel like he controls the game really well. He allows our players to create the chances they want. And he's the one that's always tucking in, collecting, and spraying the ball out. And he opens up a lot of pockets of space for guys like Zielinski to drop in, to grab it, Kvaratskhelia to tuck wide. And I feel like he is our most important midfielder, and I think he's one of our most important players. It's between him and Kvaratskhelia for MVP. I would lean more towards Kvaratskhelia because of what he's been doing his first year in Serie A so far. But I feel like Laboka is a good shout as well.
Oh, definitely. I mean, yeah, it's hard to pick MVP so far. I mean, so close
into
the year.
Yeah, it's too early, but
it's tough.
It was just a good question. I'm like, you know what? Let me ask it. Just because I was interested to see what you guys would say as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, my pick of Beto is not going to be the same at the end of the year. There's no way.
Yeah.
If it is, then Udinese would have said, yeah. But,
or they finished top four.
Yeah, I was just thinking what team surprised me looking at the standings here. It's up there, and obviously Udinese is the one. And what player do I think has been the X factor? Even though he hasn't started many games, I think started only two games. And Beto's been that guy for me, and Delefeu, of course, too. So, yeah, I'd run with him. In terms of best player, like actually best player, not like most valuable to the team. But yeah, Kvaratskhelia is up there. I think Kuppa Munir has been good for Atalanta.
Yeah, he's definitely been up there.
I think. Milan, it's tough. Leao's been good, but he hasn't been like the Leao.
He's not the Leao from last year. Yeah. But even last year, he did the same thing. In the beginning of the season, he was all right, and then like in the second half of the season, he got really hot.
Definitely. Inter, I don't know who I pick from that team right now.
Inter, I would. Martinez, he's been doing okay. Brozovic is
him sometimes. I think Brozovic, honestly.
Yeah, Brozovic or Barella. Yeah. But lately, Barella, I don't think he's been okay, but Brozovic has probably been the best shot.
And Roma, obviously, Bala, we're absolutely hot garbage without him. I know it's not the Empoli game, but both goals are complete magic from him. Individual efforts there.
Yesterday, too, he was good.
Yeah, even yesterday, I was tweeting the whole first half. This team sucks about Dybala, and then he came in, and 1 minute later, we're up 1-0 as soon as he came in.
You know, he's been good when Argentina have no questions about calling him up. Because every time, it seems like something with Juve, every time there was debate of he was either not called up or he was just, because of this guy getting hurt, he's called up. Like, it's.
Yeah,
he's been great so far for Roma.
For as bad as our attack's been, just because everyone seems like they're off the same page, and someone's getting hurt one game, and no Zaniolo and all this kind of stuff. As bad as they've been, for Dybala to have 5 goal contributions in 6 games, and he hasn't played 90 minutes, I don't think, yet, or maybe one game or two, he's played 90 minutes. To have that amount of contributions is pretty incredible. And I saw a stat, too. He's had the best start for a Roma player in the last 22 years. In terms of goal contributions. Wow. So, yeah, he's been incredible. And obviously, I saw Juventus. Actually, I saw a tweet today. It was funny. Speaking on Allegri for the last 40 minutes. I saw a tweet today. Someone's like, Paulo Dybala is the only player not to be ruined by Allegri. And if you think about it, the whole Allegri era, Dybala was really that. Obviously injuries, but he wasn't really ruined by leg. It was just injuries. But
I think that's what saved him, are the injuries.
Yeah, because Rossi would still be on Juve right now, and he wouldn't be looking good. So he's playing as a winger for leg, all that stuff. But he's one of those players, you play him wherever, and you know, he's going to contribute. He's just that special of a player. And as soon as he touches the ball, it's magic. And I haven't seen something like this since Totti, where I get that feeling where, you know, someone has the ball, and I'm like, oh my God, something incredible is about to happen. At the goal against Empoli, I feel like Napoli had the Mertens. I'm not sure if you guys saw the goal Dybala scored against Empoli, but from that spot,
every
time Mertens gets the ball for Napoli, I'm like, oh, that's a goal.
The first one, the one he just, like, took it down nicely, controlled it beautifully, and he just poked it on.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know what that kind of reminds me of? Remind me of Messi's goal against Nigeria, where he took it down on his, I believe it was his right foot. He took it down and he took his left, just so nice, and it's always nice to see goals like that too, when, like, you control it nicely and then you just find a way to place it finish. Home.
Yeah. And we need those two moments of magic. Even his assist to 10, it was all him. And I feel like Mertens is one of those guys too.
Where,
there's a certain amount of space, and they get the ball, and you're like, ah, damn, that's about to be a goal. And I never had that feeling for Roma player in some time now since Totti. And as soon as Dybala, I saw who had the ball top the box there. I don't know why, I knew it was a goal straight away. I'm sure Juve fans had that feeling now for the last 8 years with him. And, he's just a special player. So, honestly, it's incredible to watch, and I'm just enjoying every game, because it won't be, you know, won't be forever that will be here. So, Serie A is looking – honestly, I don't think any team is good in the top 6 right now as a whole. I think there's a lot of good individual players right now. But I don't know. I don't know if it's the World Cup and the, you know, condensed schedule. Players are tired and not performing at their best. But
I think
this is going to be a scrappy year.
You know what? I can see that too. But also too, I feel like it's more you should be paying more compliments to the teams at the bottom, because there was a few times, maybe besides Monza, I've been impressed with the way most of the teams have been playing, to be completely honest. Like a team like Cremonese, when they were playing Inter, they've impressed me that game, and I'm like, but they're better than what the results show, and it's just like moments like here and there that throughout the game that they're like, oh, they could have done this, they could have
and saved that the quality goalie. Like the other teams do. Yeah,
but I feel like they could be a team, like, for me, Salernitana, I think they've been one of the best teams, like, bottom half to, like, look out for them. Udinese, even Torino have been playing good. But Salernitana, there's times where they look like they can beat anyone, but then there's times where they don't have that quality to pick up the 3 points against. Say against Juve, they were up 2-0, right? With okay, with a bit of luck, you can say, they could have lost that game. They would have lost that game.
Yeah, definitely. And
they should be, those are the games that, like, they have to win, because those are crucial points, which they got lucky to pick up the point, but those are games that they have to win. But as the year goes on, I feel like these smaller teams, especially a lot of them with, not, a lot of them not going to, like, the World Cup, you can see them improving a lot. And yeah. I feel like it's going to be, like you said, it's going to be a scrappy year. But I feel like it's not because of the top six getting weak. I feel like it's the bottom half that are getting a lot stronger because of the confidence of players performing well, coaching staff, good coaching. And I feel like that's going to be the, like, you have to overcome those obstacles if you want to win the Scudetto. And I feel like that's the reason why.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it's a bit of both. I think they're weak as well as, you know, the other teams are seeing an opportunity in a year where these big teams have to play so many games and they just have to play once a week or twice a week at times. And they're like, okay, you know, let's get them, you know, let's press them, let's, you know, push them. You know, they're tired. So they're taking advantage of it. And I'm going to say right now, I don't think Cremonese is getting relegated this year. Just seeing the way they play, I can't see them getting relegated. They play very well. I like the way they play.
I feel like football. It could be another Cinderella story with them. Like, just definitely. The way, like, especially with the way Salernitana play. I like their coach. I think their coach is, he's funny. Like, he's a funny character to have, but I feel like he's a good coach. I can see him in the next maybe 2-3 years being on a team like maybe Sassuolo, or who knows, like a team like that. Like an Italiano. I feel like I'm not saying he's the next Italiano. I'm just basing on what I've seen so far. But I like the way he organizes his team, the way he's vocal too. So I like him too. I like him as a coach.
Yeah, I think Okereke has been good. And, he, you know, he's good for Venezia too. He's always been, you know, one of those dangerous players that kind of annoy you when you're a bigger team going up against him. Desters, who came from Feyenoord, who I know a little bit too well, almost scored in Roma like 5 times in the finals. He hasn't been amazing, but I do think he will heat up. He's been playing decently well, just not finding the back of the net, not really getting those goal contributions. But I think once Okereke and Desters get on the same page, I think Cremonese will be very irritating to play against, and they have been so far. So, yeah, I don't think Cremonese is going to go down just the way they're playing. Sampdoria needs to watch out, honestly. They haven't been terrible, but they haven't been good.
I think
Monza's dead for.
Yeah, that was a mistake I made. But Sampdoria, going back to them just before we move on, I think you can argue they're probably one of the worst teams in Serie A, just the way they play. And if it wasn't for Ardero making some big saves, because he's made some big saves over the last few weeks that have kept them in games, who knows where they would be. Like, they're...
Oh, definitely.
Even Sabiri, too, he's a good player. It's just... I don't know. I feel like in January he might be out the door. Depending on where Sampdoria is going, I feel like he might be out the door.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I'm trying to think what else we can go off on here. Obviously, it's not our usual podcast. We're breaking down, you know, this game, that game. Just tough with, you know, we missed the last 2 weeks, so, you know, we don't want to talk about games from 2 weeks ago. So, it's always one of those fun podcasts where we just talk about anything. Last question for you guys. Who would you say is the best team in Europe and the worst in terms of, you know, the last couple of years from Serie A?
Okay, Serie A?
Yeah.
Okay. To be honest with you, best team in Europe, you would probably have... I know it's tough, but maybe I would go with either... I would go with Roma, to be honest with you. The best team in Europe. And I'm not saying they're like, oh, yeah, people want... Whatever, your opinions on Conference League, it's your opinions. For me, they're the ones that have won something. And they've gone, you can argue maybe Inter, they made it to, I believe, the semis or the finals. I think they made it to
the final. They lost.
They made it to the finals. If they would have won the Europa League, Sevilla? I think Sevilla or Ajax. Sure.
That's where Lukaku scored the own goal, I believe.
Yeah, one of the two. But if Inter would have won that finals in when they made it, then 100% them.
Yeah.
Juve haven't been really impressive. They've been knocked out. Napoli have been, God willing, I've been disappointed with them in Europe, to be completely honest. And Atalanta, they made a nice push, but they couldn't get over that hump. But Roma, they won something. They brought in Mourinho. They brought in these guys. And you can tell in Europe, they've always been a threat in Europe. They've always they beat Barcelona. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they came back to beat Barcelona. So that explains a lot. And for me, the worst team, I know it's going to sound funny, but I think Lazio. They just...
Yeah, that's a good pick.
They've been terrible in Europe, in my opinion. And yesterday, I feel like yesterday they just put the icing on the cake for me with that embarrassing display. It was embarrassing. Yeah.
Vigeland or something.
A team in, I believe, Denmark.
Yeah.
Give them a lot of credit because they played really well. Like, they did. They impressed me. Going attacking, every chance they had, they could have scored. That's how good they were yesterday. And, yeah, like for me, Lazio has been the worst team. And I feel like Roma has been the best just because they won something. They're the first Italian team to win something since Inter, I believe, in Europe.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I'm trying to think now. I pick Roma as well. I'm not being biased. I just think we've been the best. Let's see. So semifinals against Liverpool, we made it there. And obviously, I don't want to harp on something that happened almost 5 years ago now, but handball strength, that's
cool. You guys were close to the finals too. That's the scary part.
We're one goal away. If that handball was called, which if there was VAR at the time, it would have been called.
You never know, and maybe they didn't have the VAR angle.
Oh, here we go. Oh yeah, that's nothing we should have talked about. We don't have enough time for that one.
Oh, bro, we'll be here for 4 hours.
Yeah, I'll be here for 4 hours.
I personally touched up.
And there'll be me and you for like. And then Pancher for 3 hours and 55 minutes.
The Pancher show. But yeah, I mean, if that penalty was called, Roma's looking at a Champions League final there. Are they going to win? Probably not. They're playing Real Madrid. But to be fair, also, Real Madrid, out of all the finals they won, that was the worst performance they put on. That was a Salah injury game. It was a 1-0 scoreline at the end. Real did not play good at all. Liverpool's actually the better
team. Two mistakes,
The errors. So, yeah. That was a winnable game. I remember watching and saying, oh, man, if we made it, something could have happened. But, that's going to be final. Then you're looking at a quarterfinal, I believe, the year following that against Porto, where Zaniolo scored those two goals. Was around 16 or quarters. I think it was a quarters. Then we're looking at, Europa League semifinal afterwards. Europa League quarterfinal. Then we're looking at the Europa League semifinal against United. And then, obviously the Conference League. So Roma's always been up there in, all three levels of Europe. Roma's, gone far at least, Champions League semifinal, Europa League semifinal, and winning the Conference League all within the last 5 years. So, yeah, I think Roma's done well. It's domestically where the problem is, when said, which the opposite of other teams. The worst, we're basing off this year's Fiorentina because, man, they're killing me down here. I really wanted Fiorentina to win the conference.
Are we doing based off this year or just like...
No, in total, maybe the last five years, six years, like around
there. Okay. Then, Fiorentina, They're like, if we're going based off this year, I agree with Fiorentina, but overall, I think Lazio.
I think overall for me, Juve does have a shelf for it just because the expectations, every year, every press conference is always like, we want the Champions League, that's our goal. Champions League, Champions League, Champions League. The fans, the owners, managers they've had, the team, it's always the Champions League, and it's always an embarrassing defeat to, Porto, and Ajax, Lyon,
I don't know what press conferences you've been watching, but I've never heard Allegri in my life say he wants the Champions League. That's all I'm going to say.
Let's pretend like Allegri doesn't exist for the last couple of minutes.
The players said they want it, but the manager, he's saying he wants it. Yeah, he wants to go there.
Okay, not Allegri, but everyone knows that's when Juventus' goal. The kind of board of the Scudetto all the time is winning it. But okay, now it's time for the Champions League push. And if you want to base off the expectations, it would be Juve. But I agree with Dan Lazio, and I'm not just saying that because I'm a Roma fan. I think I can't remember Lazio doing anything worthwhile. In Champions League, they got completely obliterated. Europa League, what's the farthest they made it? I can't even tell you.
I think the
round
same.
Round 32, round of 16, maybe?
Think round of 32.
Yeah.
Where they lost to Porto. I remember last year. I think they lost there. They lost to Porto.
Yeah, it was Porto. Yeah. Is that the farthest they made it recently? I can't remember. So, yeah, I think Lazio, just because they're in Europa League and, they are expected to win the group at least, at least second. And go, I'd say, at least around 16, around 30, quarterfinals. But no, they haven't done that. So yeah, it's between Juve and Lazio, but I'd lean more towards Lazio because the Champions League is not easy by any means. But at the same time, Juve is, you know, that's their goal. And for them to fall out against the smaller teams consistently is not a good look. But yeah, I'd say Lazio. And Che, let's hear your take on it.
I have a bit of a hot take here.
You always do.
Yeah.
So obviously we're going last couple of years. So I'm going to say Roma has been the best team in Europe. But I actually think the worst team in Europe is Milan. I think, similar to Enzo saying about Juve's expectations, I think having the champion of Italy last year go out in Champions League, not even go to Europa, like came fourth place, I think that's a huge, huge problem. And I think Milan, over the most recent years, just either haven't been involved in Europe or have just been very poor in Europe. So I think I think they've been the worst team.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair take, especially on last year. That was extremely embarrassing for, it makes Serie A look really bad for a team to come fourth in their group and win the Serie A. That does not look good at all. But yeah, I was talking more on, like, teams that have been involved in Europe. But yeah, Milan with their history, yeah, they should be doing much better. And to be honest, this year, I don't see them going far either. To be honest, you and Inter, their defense is very sketchy to me. Without Skriniar, I think I tweeted it once. I feel like Inter can save like 7-8 goals a game without Skriniar.
Oh yeah,
yep. He saves them like many. Like, and even Handanovic, he gets a lot of flack. And yeah, he's old. And yeah, he makes mistakes.
But he makes a lot of big saves for them.
Yeah, he makes a lot of big saves. And the last match, he was the reason they won. They could have very well easily lost that game. And if you take out Handanovic, the last 10 years, the amount of times that guy saves them, he's gotten them at least 60 points in the last decade.
And you see it too, where I know it's his first game. I believe it was his first game with Inter. When he was in net, Bayern seemed like they could have scored every chance because of the way the defense was. And he couldn't make big saves on Nana when called upon. But yeah, no. With Alan Donovich, I know he gets a lot of flack for, quote unquote, being a statue, which a lot of times goalies are nowadays. But him and Skriniar, I feel like, without them, yeah. And like you said, like they'll probably give up like 3 or 4 goals a game.
Yeah, definitely. And in terms of Milan, okay, I feel like I haven't talked about them that much yet. I think their best player to me has been Benacer. I think he's been incredible for Milan. And he's been a good player for a while now, even at Empoli. Just injuries got in the way. Maybe just tactically not being able to fit in as well with, you know, Kessier being that go-to holding mid. But yeah, Benacer has been incredible for Milan this year so far, and I think he's a really good player. He doesn't do anything flashy that's going to, you know, wow you, but he's that midfielder that I think every team needs to, you know, win the ball back, advance the play, move on to the next, the next idea they have going forward. He initiates everything, and I think Benacer has been incredible. I think he's been one of the best players in the Serie A so far. Along with the likes of, you know, Dybala, Kvaratskhelia, just guys like that, he's been up there in my opinion. I think he's been great. So, and similar to Lobotka, he doesn't get a lot of credit. I think Benacer is probably in the same boat.
I think Real's the most
talented of course though.
Yeah, the way they both play, like they're both like same boat. They're not gonna, like, you're not gonna, when you talk about, oh, Napoli won because this guy did this guy did that, but a lot of times they're the ones that they go under the radar. Like, there are a lot of, like, they just walk in the shadows and no one talks about them. But they're like one of the main reasons why, say, Milan wins this game, Napoli win this game. And you can see when they don't play and when they do play, two different teams. Yeah, especially, sure, like, sure. I'm going to talk more basically on Napoli's point of view. But without La Boca, our team, they look lost a lot of times. And when he comes in, it's like the gates open finally. Like, he has the key to open the gates and we can play the way we want.
Yeah, I think that's what you had brought in Paredes for. Be that initiator, and I don't think he is that. I'm outspoken on not liking Leandro Paredes as a player at all. I don't think he's good at anything. When they talk about him, oh, look at his pass accuracy, 95%. Well, I sure hope so when you're passing 2 feet away from you. You have a 95 pass percentage every game. But, I think definitely Lobotka and Benacer have been up there with the best in the Serie A so far. Boys, any other things you want to bring up before we wrap up?
I just want to apologize to all Monza fans for the disrespect that these guys have put you guys through. I think you're a well-established team that is going to do great things in the city this season. You just got Rovella, who's been incredible for you guys so far, and you just got a new manager upcoming for the Juventus game. I think he's going to put in a fight and a fire in this Monza side, and I think we're going to see great things leading on to it.
Yeah, he's a Monza fan now. You know, Juve's done that to him. He's transferred over to Galliani, and he's now a Monza fan. You're here first on the podcast. also, you know, Verona, 8th place. They're in 14th right now. So
yeah, they're not far off.
Yeah, 2 more spots back, and it's, you know, what's 8 plus 8, Francia? 16. They're almost there, so. yeah, almost double, like you said, but backwards. So, yeah. The city has fun. Although the quality isn't the best at the moment of, you know, the top sides, it kind of makes it better in a way. Every game, you don't know what's going to happen. In the past, you see, you know, maybe Napoli or Juve or Roma or Inter or Milan, whatever, playing a team like Salernitana, like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. I'm not going to bother watching. It's going to be a 3-0 win. It's done. And then you check the score of your phone, you see 2-2. Juventus and Salernitana are 2-0 at the time. Yeah, anything could happen, so, you know, every game's important right now. And
Allegri is a giver. He likes to give points to the smaller teams.
Allegri in.
Forza Allegri, the best manager on the planet. You know, no disrespect to me and Danny here. We love you, Maximiliano. And hopefully you stay here at Juventus Football Club for the rest of your career. And I hope in chat, you know, he's just a hater, Allegri. Don't worry. Just keep doing what you're doing right now. I love it. So keep opening up that top four.
What's up, Massimiliano?
But yeah, I guess we'll wrap up here. Before we go, shout out to the Calcio guys for having me on. It was a great time, you know, talking to those guys. You know, Nicholas, Gianni, and Adriano. It was a great time, you know, talking to you guys as it always is. We'll have them back on the pod, I'm sure, at some point. Ahead of the World Cup, we don't have Italy, so we'll dive into some Canada. Why not? You know, don't be much content to make around Serie A, so if you are Canadian and you want to hear about that maybe a little bit, why not? The World Cup's always a good time to chat Calcio, and there's always some unexpected players that come out of it, so maybe we'll see if the Serie A can gobble some of those guys up in January. Similar to, you know, James Rodriguez scored a bar down and became the best midfielder in the world, and everyone died. So, yeah, I'm excited for that, too. And, yeah, we'll wrap up there. Want to check us out on social media? We're at Six Side Calcio on both Instagram and Twitter. Facebook is dead to us after some certain behind the scenes things that went on there, so we're not on Facebook anymore. We do have a website. It's all in our link tree in our description, you know, in the bio of our social media accounts. So yeah, feel free to check all that out. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening, and ciao.
Ciao.